Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to jump into our lesson here in just a minute on the Holy Spirit. But first, I want to update you on what is happening here in Kenya, coming to you from Kenya today. And we've been having a great week. We have a couple here from Kansas, actually, this week, visiting, and we've been building a mud house for an elderly couple here near the church, and they had no home. They're staying with relatives, and they had no home, and so we're finishing up the mud house. Started on Monday last week, and we had a great time building, anywhere from 10 to 20 people helping out, and so we finished it up, this beautiful mud home, and the people are ready to move in now. And so that is one of the missions that we do here in Makunda, in the village, is target people with substandard or no housing, and we build a house for them, give them the key, and walk away and let them have a brand new house. And so that was a blessing. Also, we're having a conference as I speak today. We're having a conference today and tomorrow. And so that will be a blessing as well. We're going to be talking about acceleration of strength in 2023. And so that will be the theme for the conference. We have crusades in mind for this spring, also trying to get Kenyans over to the U.S. to get training in encounter meetings over in the U.S. And so we're trying to get visas for those Kenyans. And that's a prayer item for you. If you would pray with us on that, the doors would open so these people can get visas. And so that is something that we're attempting to do as well. Hopefully we can make a trip to the USA this spring with some Kenyans to take in some encounter conferences. So there's plenty to do, plenty to talk about. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we invite you to join us as a worker. If you can't go, if you can't come, send support, send those who can, and we can accomplish for the kingdom great things here in Kenya and all over East Africa. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and as I spoke before, it's a big subject, a very wonderful subject. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We don't just have a single entity that we serve, that we love, that we worship. God the Father is Jehovah God, the Father of Jesus Christ, God the Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of the Father. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who is given to those who know Jesus, who confess his name, confess faith in his name. The Holy Spirit is given as the counselor, as the paraclete, the intercessor, and the person that walks with us and abides with us, the person of God, the Spirit of God that walks with us and guides us and counsels us in our daily life. And so as you come to know the Holy Spirit, you can talk with him, you can walk with him, he will give you counsel in every situation, even small details in your life or great details in your life. And so that is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus is talking in Acts chapter 1. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and this scene is set after the resurrection, and it's time for Jesus to ascend to the Father. He's already been crucified. Now he's resurrected, and he appears to the disciples in various ways and manners over a period of time of about 40 days. And so if we start in verse 3 in Acts chapter 1, it says, "To whom Jesus also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And so this is a time of teaching and a time of speaking and final time for discipling these men who he had walked with for 3.5 years. And then he is getting ready then to ascend to the Father and leave the ministry to these men and women, leave the ministry to them with the help of the Holy Spirit. But they had not as yet been engaged or encountered the Holy Spirit. And so he says in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so that's a very key verse there. Verse 5, Jesus repeats the words that John the Baptist had actually spoken. And John the Baptist, if you go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so that was the words that John the Baptist spoke about the one coming, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was not God. He was not part of the Trinity. He was not anything sacred. Yes, he was a forerunner, and he had knowledge. He had foreknowledge and revelation that the one coming after him was the Messiah, the one coming after him, that he was crying in the wilderness saying, make way, make the way straight for this one coming after me. So John had revelation, but Jesus also said that of men born of women, John the Baptist is the least of those in the kingdom because he did not have salvation. And at the end of his life, he even doubted about Jesus Christ. He had doubts that Jesus, he had to send, when John was in prison, he had to send people to talk to Jesus, say, are you the one? Are you the one that we have been preaching about? Are you the one that the scriptures of old told about? And so John himself even had doubt. But Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 5, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Well, I'm sure most all of you know what baptism is. Baptism by water means full immersion. The word, Greek word baptizo, means to immerse or full immersion in the water. And of course, we watch people be baptized. They go down in the water completely immersed. They come up out of the water and they are totally covered with water. And that is representing the covering of our sins, the washing away of our sins by the Lord Jesus, the washing away of our sins by the blood of Jesus. And so we come up out of that water resurrected to walk in newness of life. And so when you hear the term baptism, you think immersion, full covering. And so when Jesus is saying, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, you can envision that the Holy Spirit fully covers you, that the Holy Spirit bathes you 100% when you go into the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit goes into you, you are bathed, you are covered, you are immersed 100%. It's not a partial thing. You don't hold the Holy Spirit in your hand and or a little piece of him or a little partial Holy Spirit. You are fully immersed when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're fully bathed, you're fully clothed. And so that is what Jesus is preparing the disciples for. And so then in verse 6, says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Because at this time, the Romans were in Israel. They were dominating the native people. They had taken over Israel as well as many other parts of the world. And so the disciples were still looking for an earthly kingdom, a military, you might say, military political kingdom to combat the Roman Empire. And Jesus said to them, verse 7, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to give you a timeline for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. I'm not even going to give you a timeline for the restoration or the initiation of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it's not for you to know times or seasons. And even still to this day, there are things in the kingdom of God that people speculate, things such as the rapture or the second coming of Jesus. People speculate, well, when is this going to happen? It's going to happen certain such and such a day. And everybody over the years has tried, not everybody, but many people over the years have tried to speculate on when Jesus is going to come back or what the day of the rapture is. Don't do that. It's not only foolish and a waste of time, but it's also a sin, because Jesus commanded us not to speculate. He said, only the Father knows. And that's what he's telling these people here, these disciples here. He's saying, only the Father has authority to know these things. Jesus said, I don't even know when I'm coming back. Only the Father knows. But he said, watch and pray. And so that is your call today. That is your charge today. Don't sit around saying, come, Jesus, come. I'm paralyzed. I'm frozen. I can't do anything because I'm waiting for the rapture, or I'm waiting for the second coming. No. Or the tribulation is coming, and so I've got to go hide in a cave and get ready for it. No, you get busy, watch and pray, occupy until the day of Jesus' return or until the day of the rapture. You occupy and you take territory. You go into all the nations, preach the gospel, get busy, get off the couch, get off the church pew, and get busy taking the harvest in, as the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. And so if you'll do that, start focusing on the harvest instead of events which you have no way to know if they're coming this week, next week, or 10 years from now. Just get your focus on Jesus and the harvest, and you will occupy, you will be busy. You won't have time to sit around worrying about when the rapture is going to come. And so Jesus said, the Father has put these times and seasons in his own authority, and you don't need to know, you can't know, because it's in the Father's providential authority, and it's not your prerogative to know those things. And Jesus didn't even tell the disciples when precisely the Holy Spirit was coming. He just said, you will receive power. He said, be ready, because the promise is coming. He says, stay in Jerusalem. The promise is coming, and you need to be ready for it. So when it comes, you can receive it. And in verse 8, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so there's the promise there, the revealing. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So that is a power-packed verse right there. That word power, you shall receive power, that word in the Greek language is dunamis, the same word we get our word dynamite from. You know, when you set a dynamite charge in a hill to blow the rocks out, you can blow the rocks out in a short time. What it would take many men years to do, that dynamite charge can blow rocks out, it can clear cliffs, it can destroy buildings, bring huge buildings down. The charge and the power in dynamite is very powerful. And so that is what Jesus is depicting here, is that dynamite will come into your ministry, dynamite will come into your life, that you will receive power. And then with that power, you're not just going to be sitting around doing nothing. With that power, you will be witnessing to me and for me in the world. And so the witness starts in Jerusalem. That is your neighborhood, that is your hometown, that is your immediate local place where you will minister. Then you go to Judea, and Judea is a little farther away, the same people as you, your same tribe, your same tongue, the people that you know. And so you go out away from your neighborhood into Judea, and you go a little farther away from home. Then you go to Samaria, and Samaria were half-breed people, they were mixed-race people, and so they weren't the pure Jews, they were people that are mixed with the pagan nations around them. And so Samaria was a bit of a mission trip, you might say. It was a bit of a difficult ministry, a different kind of a ministry, because you're ministering to people that are not of your family, not of your tribe, your race. And so that's farther away. And then even to the end of the earth, and that is the apostolic calling. Then to go to the end of the earth, Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the Great Commission to the disciples, and he said, go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so the end of the age is coming. We don't know when. We don't need to sit around speculating, as I talked before. We don't need to sit around speculating on when the end of the age is. Some people think it's going to happen this year. Personally, I don't. I think it's going to be a long time away, because the gospel has to be preached in all the nations, and then the end will come. And I can tell you, after preaching the gospel in many nations, it isn't near saturated in all the nations. The gospel hasn't reached many tribes and people in Kenya. The gospel hasn't reached people in tribes in Congo. If you want to see people that have never heard the gospel come to Africa, there's many, many remote tribes in different places all over Africa that have never heard the gospel. And if they have, maybe only a short version of it. And so there's many places that you can come, or you can go and preach the gospel, and people then will know. But the gospel has to be preached in all the nations, and then the end will come. So the Great Commission is for you, my brother and sister. The Great Commission is for me. It's not just for people that are quote-unquote missionaries. It's not just for people that are already signed up to go. It's for you as well, listening to me today. And so this gospel must be preached in all the nation, and that is Samaria, that is Judea, that is the end of the earth. And so then, after Jesus told the disciples that, his work was done here on the earth. He was done, he was finished discipling, he was finished teaching, he was finished giving them revelation. And now in verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up right in front of their eyes, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Well, these were two angels that had appeared, and they were giving instruction to the apostles, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Well, that means that he's coming back in the clouds. Just as he was taken up in the clouds, he will be coming back in the clouds, and the trump shall sound, the voice of the archangel shall shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's a picture of the rapture. And so the angel said, just as he left, he's coming back that way again. But in the meantime, don't stand around marveling. Don't stand around gazing. You've got work to do. And beloved, we have work to do, just as the disciples had work to do. Well, they went into Jerusalem. Praise God, they were obedient. Praise God, they prayed. They were in the upper room, and they received then the Holy Spirit, just as the promise of the Father was given to them, the promise was then, just as the promise was promised to them, the promise was given to them, and they received the Holy Spirit 10 days later. They waited 10 days in obedience and received the promise that the Lord had given to them. Well, the Holy Spirit was prophesied. This wasn't just some immediate knee-jerk reaction plan that God had. The Holy Spirit was prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds of years before it was poured out. And so we can look at the prophecy of Joel. Turn back to Joel in the Old Testament, one of the what they call minor prophets of the Old Testament. And in verse 28 and chapter 2 of the book of Joel, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant who the Lord calls." And so one of the signs of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is that people will start to prophesy, people will start to speak the truth, the forthcoming also of truth, and that is prophetic unction as well as preaching the word with revelation and with foreknowledge. And so that is a sign of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Also, men will start to dream dreams and foreknowledge of events coming in their life, or events for the church, events for the ministry of God. And also, young men will see visions. That is, God can give open visions during the day. It's not a dream. It can be an open vision during the day or night. And it's as if you're actually in a situation, and God opens up your spiritual eyes to see into a situation, to know what's coming or to know what is with great revelation. And so all of these things then are signs of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Another one is in verse 29 of Joel chapter 2, "And also on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so what he means by that is it's not going to be something just for the religious elite, not for those who have been to Bible college or to those who've been to seminary. It's going to be for the common person. The Holy Spirit outpouring will be for every man, woman, and even child who learns to know Jesus, who comes to know Jesus, who cries out to Jesus. The Holy Spirit outpouring will be for those who are seeking the Lord with passion, seeking the Lord with zeal. And beloved, if you cry out to the Holy Spirit, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit abiding with you, first of all, you need to repent, confess your sins, and turn from your wicked ways, confess Jesus' name, be baptized, and ask the Lord, give you the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to endow you with the Holy Spirit, and so you can come to know the third person of the Trinity, and he will walk with you, talk with you, and give you counsel. He will be your advocate in every situation and your counselor in every situation, and that will be the plan of God for your life as you move forward in your kingdom walk. Well, we're going to talk more about this next week, but I wanted to cover today the prophecy in the book of Joel, and also what Jesus' last teaching regarding the Holy Spirit would be for the disciples, and that is good teaching for us. That is something we can dwell on and meditate on and pray about, that you too can receive that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be looking at this more in more detail next week. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for the provision, and we invite you to join this ministry, not only for the projects in Africa, but for the radio broadcast, for the children's home, and the other things we have going on here in Africa. And so if you would pray about your part in joining us, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you sit down, write out a check today. It's not for my benefit. It's for the glory of God. It's for the kingdom of God. It takes money to preach the gospel. It takes money to travel. It takes money to hold conferences and crusades. And so you can be a part of that. If you can't come, if you can't go, send your money and the Lord will bless you. You will be blessed. We will be blessed. And the Lord will receive the glory. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.